When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Merry Christmas, everybody. It's Dukes and Bell. Turtle is in for Mike today, and we're talking about a variety of things. We're going to get into some NFL conversation coming up here. We're going to talk to our buddy Wes Durham.
That's Wes.
Drewham! Coming up in about 15 minutes, and we're also going to talk about what Kirby had to say about Gunnar Stockton as he's been getting more and more reps. It's official. Carson Beck is out, had surgery. We found out yesterday that he had the surgery out in California. For the URL.
UCL.
UCL, excuse me, URL. That's
that's the website. That's the thing you put the website into.
Well, what used to be on MTV? What was that? TRL.
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 With Carson Daly.
Yeah. TRL. But yes,
just did 6 degrees of URL right there.
Isn't it crazy?
That's why this is the number one sports show.
I wish Carson Beck nothing but the best. Guy hit me up. He says, man, it sounds like, you know, you don't want Beck back. Look, I don't have any say in this. Like, Turtle and I don't have any say in this. This is really going to come down to whether or not Gunnar Stockton can handle the moment. If he does, it gives Georgia options. That's a good place to be in. To say, hey, we got a guy that we really feel good about who just led us to a national championship, which could happen. Or he led us there, we lost, but damn, he played well. And guess what? We got a guy that we know we can trust, and he's a starter and has been. It gives you options. That's not a bad place to be in.
Well,
I don't know where this goes or how they make that decision. But I do think if you say if he wins it and Georgia wins the Natty, yeah, that makes it a lot easier. But if he doesn't, does it make it a lot easier even if he plays well and they don't win it?
But what if, Carl, Dan Lanning over at Oregon says, hey, Phil.
Come on through.
Can you cut a check?
Yeah.
Can we go get a national championship caliber quarterback to replace Dylan Gabriel?
That's what they did this year. You're right.
Can we do it again? What if Kalen DeBoer says, I need to right this ship. I know a guy who I can call who can come steady my program. Hey, Carson, you want to make $6-8 million in Alabama? We got it.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, that is a part of this that we haven't discussed because we're all under the assumption that he didn't want to go anywhere else. We don't know that either. So I agree. I think when you start talking about the transfer portal and how that's changed things, that could play out as well. Bottom line, though, is he's had the surgery. They say he'll be ready to throw in the spring, and hopefully that's the case for him. Got this tweet, and I just want to read this real quick from Manny because I was talking about the defenses, and he's like, Dukes, you don't trust Georgia's defense, but you should know because they shut down the Horns twice. LOL, go Dogs. Actually, it was once. One dominant performance. The second game was not that. It was an overtime, you know, grind-out dogfight. The second game was completely different. And the first game, yeah, you beat the hell out of the Texas Longhorns at their house. But one dominant game doesn't make me trust you like the 21 defense.
Well, they also gave up 42 to Georgia Tech.
And Miss State, 31. I mean, that could go on and on. There's a variety of games this year where Georgia's not looked the part. Let's not get ahead of ourselves, Manny. That was a dominant performance, and I think it surprised everybody around the country because we hadn't seen that Georgia defense up until that point. Remember, that was that game where it was like, oh, Georgia's defense, and they showed up. But they're still in the 21 defense. I watched it. They gave up 9 points a game. They shut people out game after game after game. This isn't that. So, yeah, I'm not saying that because of what I've seen in the last few weeks that I trust Georgia's defense to go into these playoffs and shut out Notre Dame and shut out – who would they play? Oh, Boise or Penn State, and then shut out potentially Oregon or Ohio State or whoever else might be there. No, I don't. 404-726-0929. Appreciate you, Manny, as always, though. We got a lot to get to. Wes is on the way. Let's get to an NFL Blitz!
Hey. Welcome to the NFL. With news and notes from around the league, this is NFL Blitz on Dukes and Bell.
NFL Blitz is brought to you by our friends at Priority Men's Medical Centers. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. Jerry Jones. Sean and RJ show in Dallas 105.3. The Fan said that they've had conversations. Oh, I'm talking about Mike McCarthy. Hey, they've had conversations about the future. What are those conversations? Because he's not revealing whether he's going to retain him. But if you're having conversations with a coach that doesn't have a contract, why else would you be having conversations? I think that Mike McCarthy is back as the Cowboys coach. I think he's cheaper than anybody that Jerry's going to go out and potentially grab. And his resume speaks for itself. Everybody wants a Super Bowl winning coach. Listen, you don't think Raheem Morris being a Super Bowl winning defensive coordinator helped him get this job? Like having that experience and knowing what that's about? I think everybody talks about it. And here's where I'm at. I don't think it's a bad idea. Dak's hurt. Hell, half the team is hurt. And they're competing. The Cowboys have not given up. I just find it interesting that Jerry doesn't want to commit to it yet, knowing that this is probably where he's going to go. He said, quote, I've implied every conversation that we're in a position that we've had conversations with Mike. He's talking about, you know, the head coach, discussing the situation, the football team, the future. Okay, the only reason you're doing that is because you want to lay the landscape and say, hey, this is where we're going when the season's over. I think McCarthy's back as the Cowboys coach. Is it a bad decision?
It doesn't feel, and I have to use that word with a big underline bold font, like a championship team. And the DNA of your championship team is your quarterback and your head coach. And to me, Carl, right now, it just doesn't feel like a Super Bowl team with Dak and with Mike McCarthy leading the way. You're not getting rid of Dak, so I think you have to get rid of McCarthy.
It's going to be interesting. I mean, he's got choices. Obviously, he could go a variety of ways. There's a bunch of people that would love to take the Cowboys' job and take Jerry's money.
I would hire Mike Vrabel before the ink was dry on the pen. I think he's the perfect fit there. No nonsense, going to come in, reestablish the culture. He can handle the spotlight. He's been on a winning team with the Patriots. All the media circus that's going to be down there won't bother him. And you give him the tools and the weapons. Because, Carl, they need to fix that defense.
They do.
He's the guy to do it.
They've won four of their last five, and this is why Jerry might keep him. When they played here against us, it was the worst performance. It couldn't have gone any worse for the Cowboys. Matter of fact, Cowboy fans, you know, you were leaving in the fourth quarter. They're 7-8 despite missing Dak, DeMarcus Lawrence, one of their key offensive linemen in Zach Martin. Trayvon Diggs is hurt. If you chalk all of that up and you're Jerry, you go, get those guys back. You're right. You still got to spend some money in free agency and improve the defense. But maybe this isn't as bad as it looks right now, and they're competing. But to say the Cowboys have won four of their last five, that's saying something.
Yeah, but Carl, they won 12 games, what, 3 years in a row?
They did.
And they didn't do jack in the playoffs. Mike McCarthy, he's an okay coach.
All right.
He's not a guy that's going to be the reason you win a championship because his game plans are so extraordinary that they rival Belichick and Parcells. You could put a Vrabel in there and you could get better results, in my opinion. He won a Super Bowl, but look what he had. He had Aaron Rodgers in his prime.
Yeah, he did.
Who's
2010.
Maybe the best quarterback physically I've ever seen throw the football. So I get it. He has a ring in his pocket, but Carl, to me, he's not Andy Reid. He's not one of those guys. Come on now.
By the way, as we go around the league, Ja'Marr Chase is breaking his own records. I mentioned this. They should have cut the check. But with two games remaining, Ja'Marr Chase is within striking distance of a couple of more franchise records. One of them, he's one touchdown shy of matching Carl Pickens. Remember him? Carl Pickens, 17 touchdowns in 1995.
Is that George's dad?
No, it's not. Pickens played at Tennessee, but he was a really good wide receiver. And then Chase also needs five catches, just five to break TJ Houshmandzadeh's record of 112 balls set back in 2007.
The ponytail.
This is This is an incredible season for a guy that thought he was going to get his bag before the season started. His quarterback is unbelievable.
Should be in the MVP conversation.
He should be. And now you're talking about him breaking these franchise records. All I'm telling you is whatever the money was for the highest paid receiver, was it? It's Justin Jefferson, right?
Justin Jefferson, yeah.
Add $10 million onto that. That's what Ja'Marr Chase is about to ask for.
Woof.
Inflation, fool. Yeah. I mean, like, there's no way he's just going to say, yeah, I'll take Ja'Marr Chase's money, or excuse me, Justin Jefferson's money, and they're boys. When you made me play it out, and then I came back and had a record-breaking season, I think he might be the first $40 million wide receiver.
Here's my only concern, Carl. The team is just so bad.
Oh, they got holes.
Like, how can you invest a combined, what, $80 million between your QB1 and your wide receiver one and the rest of
Dallas
your team?
Dallas is doing it.
Dallas isn't good either.
Dallas is doing it.
They're not good either.
Miami's doing
They're not good either. They're not good either. And now Tyreek's coming out and saying, I need to reassess my relationship with Tua on the field.
Did he say that?
Yeah.
Oh, poor Tyreek.
Yeah. So, Carl, riddle me this. Who's protecting Joe Burrow next year?
I don't know.
Right?
If you're Ja'Marr Chase, do you care?
Yes.
You made me play for my supper. I am eating all day. Like yes, feed him. I mean, I get it. You're right. The composition of the team. But that's not Ja'Marr Chase's deal. Ja'Marr Chase is like, yo, you didn't want to pay me. Here was the rate last year. It's a year later. We're going to go into the offseason. I'm just saying, if I'm him, I'm asking for every damn thing.
And here's another problem, too. Name a Cincinnati defender. Name one.
We got their best one that used to be there is Jesse Bates.
Who do they have, Carl? Sam Hubbard? Is he still there? I don't know.
Hendrickson is their best defender. But with that said, they have a lot of holes.
Isn't he on the Saints now? Or was it the other one?
He was on the Saints.
He was on the Saints.
And went to Cincinnati. They paid him a lot of money to go there. And he's been great, by the way. Gets after the quarterback like crazy. Hey, man, as we talk about what's going on around the NFL, we do have Christmas games. I love it. Got to be honest with you. Presents, food, all the traditions, and then football.
Unless you forget, Carl, the most important part, the only thing my girlfriend cares about.
What's that?
Queen Bey.
This is true.
She's performing.
Yeah, I know. Well, did you hear what Lamar said? He's going to leave the locker room at halftime.
Watch.
He said he was going to apologize to Harbaugh and his boys at halftime because he wanted to see Beyonce. Pickens is a green light for the Chiefs matchup, which is great news for the Steelers. He is going to play. So for those of you who are into, betting, and we are, Pickens is playing. Russell Wilson did, had a couple of bad turnovers in the last game. Steelers at home. I think it's going to be a very fun game.
And his dad, Carl, will be in the seats.
Yeah. And the other game, by the way, Ravens-Texans.
It's a big one for Houston.
It is.
They just got Deontay Johnson, by the way.
Yeah, I don't.
Because they need to fill the hole for Tank Dell.
I know. He's just a body, though, right? Is he going to do anything? He hasn't done anything. He's been on four teams.
But, Carl, if he's kind of like that kid in class that gets a D on a paper. It's like, but if you tried, you could have gotten an A. He doesn't try.
Yeah.
He doesn't try, which to me, if he's ever going to try, he's in a playoff chase right now. He's on a team that needs him. Maybe he can go out and catch four or five balls. Who knows?
All right, so Chiefs, Steelers, 1 o'clock, and then Ravens, Texans, 4:30 on Christmas Day. Then Thursday, we get football. Seahawks, Bears. That's the only NFL game. Yuck. It's on Amazon. It's Thursday night. Obviously, Thursday night football. That doesn't change.
Yeah.
Saturday. We get three games. Chargers, Patriots, Broncos, Bengals, big one. Bengals win. They are still in the mix potentially to get to the playoffs, which is crazy because they don't have a tiebreaker against the Broncos.
Chargers are coming off that come from behind.
Yeah. And the Patriots played well, too, I mean, last week. And then at night. So this is Saturday. So you got a 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock, and then an 8 o'clock game, Cardinals-Rams. And then we get to the Sunday matchups. So it's a full slate of games, and we know Sunday night, it's our Falcons and Commanders, and it's going to be a big game.
I'm so nervous.
You are?
Yeah.
Why?
Like, I'm excited nervous.
Oh, got you.
Like, I got butterflies, Carl. It's like first date energy.
It is Dukes and Bell. Turtle is in for Mike today, and Chris and I are having some fun on Christmas Eve. We hope you are. Thanks for being here. Appreciate all the nice, kind words, man. It's the holiday season. I hope you're sharing some of that nice kindness with others, as you are with us, saying thank you guys for being here. And Tony, man, I appreciate you hitting us up, saying Merry Christmas. And I want to wish Wes Durham a Merry Christmas. And Wes, thanks for being here, man. I hope you and the family and I know my favorite son of yours, everybody's doing well. How you doing, my friend?
I'm great, Carl. Merry Christmas to you guys as well. And thanks. Same to your family. I know you got your daughter home from a semester away, so
yeah,
I bet that's been fun.
It is.
Yeah, hope Santa Claus is good to you.
It is, man. It's yeah, and absolutely. You too. I mean, I'll tell you who Santa has been good to so far is Falcon fans, right? I mean,
yeah.
This turn of events, and we could talk about it ad nauseum, Wes, but, you know, as fans, we just have to accept it and like, okay, what do we have now? What did you make of the Michael Penix start? Because I really thoroughly thought we saw some things that were impressive.
Yeah, I think so. And it's funny, a week ago, you and Mike and I are having this conversation, and we're just kind of wondering, right? We're off in this unknown. Raheem really hadn't said a lot in his press offer. And then what was 3 hours after we were on the air together, they announced the change, right? Yeah. So for me, I thought there were a couple things. One, you know, some of the stuff we knew just from the small sample size we had seen. Number one, the ball gets on you quick. Right. And I, you know, Ray McLeod, I think the ball got on him so quick he dropped the first type deal. But then again, there was a couple throws in the game. There was a crossing route to Drake London where, like, you know, he fit the ball in pretty good. And then there was an out to Darnell Mooney. I think it was in the fourth quarter. An out to Darnell Mooney where Mooney literally turned his head and the ball was right on him. So that's the number one thing. The second thing for me was his ability to play. What I would call, I guess the best word is poise. I thought he played calm, and that was good. You know, he avoided a couple sacks. He, you know, there were a couple plays that he put Atlanta in where they just got smoked on defense, but it was in the run game principally, right? So I thought it was a really good start. You know, he didn't have to throw a touchdown pass to win me because I think his talent, his poise, and here's the other thing, too. Chris and Mike, or Chris and Carl, rather, he started so many college games. I mean, he had 45 starts in college. I mean, the guy's got a lot of experience under his belt. And I know Kirk has 100 and some odd starts in the NFL, but Michael Penix is a live wire. And I think we're in for a hell of a show Sunday night, to be honest.
Wes, when it comes to Sunday night, I know the Falcons defense is playing a lot better over the last couple of weeks.
Sure.
But Jaden Daniels seems to be a special cat, and if this game gets up there, do you think they'll feel comfortable unleashing Michael Penix Jr.? We know the arm is big. Are they going to let him do it?
Well, they may have no choice, Turtle, to be honest with you. I mean, they may have to have him get vertical quick because, I mean, look, when you start looking at what Washington does, I mean, they're top five. On this is no surprise. I mean, what would you expect Kingsbury to do, come in there and go stack eye? I mean, you know, they're top five in offensive production. They're 16th throwing it. They're third running it. Fifth in total. I mean, their scoring numbers top five. And Jaden is the straw that stirs the drink. Remember, DQ got this job, and immediately the number one question was, which of the quarterbacks was he going to take? And as you know, Carl, a guy who is connected to a lot of people still here is Dan Quinn, right?
Sure.
He's a good man.
Yep.
And it didn't work out here. We all understand that. But DQ's a really good guy. And, you know, I don't mind telling you, he texted me in the offseason. He texted me in January about Drake May. I mean, they were going to take the quarterback. They were going to take the best quarterback for the fit. Now, Caleb Williams had played for Cliff Kingsbury, so that's good and that's bad for Washington, in my opinion, because they likely weren't going to get him. But to tell me they got the best guy, you don't have to. I will not stand for the quiz. He is the best guy for them, and he's proven to be. And to your point, Turtle, I think here's the deal. He can be electric, and he was electric in the fourth quarter the other day. But to the other point you made, too, this is a different Atlanta defense. You don't have to go back and watch a month ago. You're probably best served to go back and watch the last 3 weeks of what this defense is and kind of what Jimmy Lake and Jerry Gray have got these guys doing because – Atlanta's become kind of that thing a little bit on that side of the ball, too, here, I think.
We've gotten spoiled with Jesse Bates' playmaking, haven't we? I mean, it's just expected.
Well, let's get down to the numbers. He's played 32 games here, and he's got, I think, 10 interceptions, okay? So he's got, basically, as Arch said the other day on the air, he's got one every three. He's had three pick sixes, you know, in his career. He's had two of them here, right? He's got four picks this year. He probably has five or six. I mean, he missed one. Remember, he missed one on the opening drive. Ball went through his hands in the end zone, right? That he almost had. So, I mean, I think there are things about him that we've clearly gotten our money's worth. There's no doubt about that. And I also think, too, and I think I've told you this before, too, I think he's the best leader on the defense. I think he is. I think he's a guy that can connect with everybody on that side of the ball. And he's one of those guys, too, that makes you a better player. So, Jesse Bates, yes, proven commodity. The encouraging piece for me, to be honest with you, is the front seven and the combination of guys that are making plays. And in particular, somebody, I'll throw Judon out there. I mean, a month ago, we weren't sure. And Matthew Judon started to make some plays. I think Eddie Goldman's had a terrific year. AK's doing some things. So I'm kind of excited where this can go. But all that being said, I think Sunday night is it's going to be a hell of a show, and it'll take Atlanta's best effort to win.
Yeah, another guy that I think should get some plug here is Caden Ellis, Wes. He's been the unsung hero of the defense. He does everything. You can drop him, you can rush him, you can put him on a speedy guy, he can cover, and I think he's just been maybe not the best player on the defense, as we just talked about with Jesse Bates, but he's been a guy that through the winning and the losing, Wes, has just been steady as she goes.
I totally agree, Turtle. I think he's the guy that, another great pickup by Terry in free agency, who came here and now is a table setter. And think about all the injuries that have gone on around him. Landman, Bertrand, Troy Anderson, right? You know, Lorenzo Carter spent some time hurt. Caden Ellis has been the guy. And, you know, I think he's the one that's, you know, again, with Bates, they're the two guys that are probably the voices in the room that are trusted the most. And I think Sunday night, that's what you have to have. Because remember, you're going to go on this field Sunday night, and it's going to be all hell breaking loose around you at now Northwest Stadium in Landover. And, I think it's going to get really interesting. I think the early stages of the game, a little bit like the fight, right, Carl? You got to withstand the flurries early and kind of create some rhythm of yourself. But, you know, this is where I like Atlanta's poise, especially when they start running the football. And I start thinking about where Washington is defensively. And, yeah, they got some guys in there, but they're still 29th against the run, guys. They're allowing 137.5 yards a game.
We're talking with Wes Durham, the voice of our Atlanta Falcons. We were at Twin Peaks last week, and I look up, and I said, oh, Wes is on. And, brother, it looked like it was cold. How cold was it up there at Notre Dame, man?
Oh, my God. I needed my friend David Stanley. He should have helped me before I left. So Friday was not as bad as Saturday because Friday afternoon it was only 22, but the wind was only 5 miles an hour.
Wow.
Saturday morning it was right about 24, but the wind was 10-12 with a kick up to about 17, Carl, in the 2 hours we were on.
Crazy.
So your boy needed hand warmers, foot warmers, long johns, heated blankets. Brother, let me tell you, but I'll say this, an unbelievable environment. I mean, as good, and I've been fortunate to go to a lot of places in broadcasting. In the late 90s, I stood on the sideline, watched Tom Brady quarterback Michigan against Penn State at Michigan Stadium. It was unbelievable to be a part of that environment and see 107,000 people basically shoved into Beaver Stadium to watch Penn State and SMU was pretty cool too. And officially cold, Carl.
I know it was. No, we looked up and I said to Mike, we laughed and I think he sent you a pic because we were like, wow, it looks cold and you guys were on set.
Oh, brother.
What do you think about these matchups as we get into some college football here before we let you go? What do you think about these matchups? Texas, Arizona State, Ohio State, Oregon's a rematch from earlier in the year, Penn State, Boise, and then obviously Notre Dame, Georgia.
I think Notre Dame, Georgia, and Oregon, Ohio State are the two best of the quarterfinal games. Penn State should win, but I don't discount anything Boise State. Not since Jared Zabransky and what Ian Johnson or whatever, the Statue of Liberty play. Chris Peterson had the mojo going, and I think they got it again a little bit with Genty. But I do believe Penn State is a much, much better defensive team than anybody Boise's seen. I think Oregon, Ohio State will be terrific. I think Georgia, Notre Dame will be terrific as well. Notre Dame showed me a lot the other night. Jeremiah Love is they are a run first, throw second offense, even though they don't tell you they are, just based on the way they line up and attack people defensively. And look, Indiana had a great year. I think what's been said postscript is embarrassing to some folks in college football about Indiana, SMU, you know, schools that got beat. I haven't heard a lot about Tennessee, probably because that's the people making the comments are funding the SEC. But
yeah.
I would say this. I think that every team deserved to be there. Now, we're going to have competitive nature as long as we have 12. But I would say this. Notre Dame Friday night really kind of dictated the tempo of that game. And I thought Riley Leonard played within the framework of what they want to do. And that's a good thing for that defense because Notre Dame pretty salty up front now defensively, and Watts makes plays in the back end too, Carl. So I think we've forgotten that the Irish's last national title was, what, 1990 with Tony Rice?
Right.
And, you know, Notre Dame is, even despite the Northern Illinois loss, they've done a really nice job on that side of the ball for sure.
Wes, real quick before we let you go, you mentioned the Notre Dame defensive front. They did lose a big piece this week. Does that allow for UGA to take some pressure off the kid and get the running game cooking?
Man, I don't know. Raven County Wildcats, they're pretty salty, so Gunnar Stockton might be okay. Look, I think Georgia cannot afford to have the unforced stuff, right? They've got to take care of their own side of the football both ways. And then, you know, every coach is going to talk about minimizing explosives. The thing I saw with Beck was the drops, right, Carl, in the back half of the season.
Yes.
There were a lot of drops. If you want to help the kid, you got to catch the ball. And, look, I think you need ETN. I think you're going to need Frazier. You're going to need all those guys to run the ball against Notre Dame. I think they're that good up front. And Georgia will have to counter and also play well defensively too. And I think that's why it's a great game. The Oregon-Ohio State game, why would we expect it to be anything other than what the first one was, which was just lights out crazy good? And I'll say this, the kid quarterback in the Buckeyes the other night was in his bag a little bit throwing the football too. So that's why I think we're, you know, we kind of got, you know, four of the eight are just are mammoth games. And it's interesting how the bracket shook out too, where we're getting these kind of heavyweight fights in two of these four.
I'm with you. It's going to be a lot of fun. Wes, by the way, and I think you know this being up there, but we were up there for Army-Navy. The Northwest Stadium, they need a new facility. It's terrible. I mean, like –
Yeah, well, I don't know how much you follow the politics up there. I guess the Fed voted that they can at least start to make a move at taking down old RFK Stadium.
That's a plus.
Creating a stadium site there.
Yeah.
You know, Dave played for Washington when they were at old RFK, and he's talked about the place. But they desperately need to take that stadium down and put something there. But, yeah, the place in Landover we're going on Sunday is it's in no shape to host games of that magnitude.
No, I agree. I mean, there'll be – because it's a playoff, you know, vibe, and there'll be folks there. But everybody in Washington was talking about that at the Army-Navy game, and I'm sure they'll be talking about it until they get a new stadium in place.
No question.
Hey, man, Merry Christmas.
Thanks,
Merry Christmas.
Y'all too. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Take care.
Be well, guys.
All right.
One, while the Ravens
– We're going to talk more about the Falcons coming up as we had a great conversation with Wes Durham. He mentioned Jaden Daniels. 69% completion rate, 3,300 yards, 22 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. But for me, it's bigger than the numbers. It's the playmaking. It's when it matters most.
He's got it.
He does. And you saw it last week against the Eagles when he threw for 5 touchdowns. He's also rushed 128 times for over 700 yards and 6 touchdowns. That's also impressive. So we're going to have our work cut out for us, man. And it's funny because I just saw this quote from Marcus Mariota. Who said that playing for Dan Quinn, quote, he is honestly one of my favorites that I've played for. The energy and the culture he builds here is just fun to be a part of.
Well, that's a convenient narrative.
It really is, especially considering coming from Marcus Mariota. But DQ is going to have his guys ready. That's regardless of what you thought at the end of his tenure here. He went to Dallas and kind of told you he does know defense. He does know how to coach.
Well, look what's happened since he's left.
It's a disaster. And then he gets this job and this opportunity. And by the way, he wasn't their first choice. I'm just telling you. That job was Ben Johnson's if he wanted it last year. And he chose not to take it. And then it was like, okay, we want somebody with Super Bowl experience. Dan Quinn has a ring from his time in Seattle. Took us there. We know how that ended. But the fact is, he is a very good coach. And they're going to be ready. It's going to be an interesting matchup. We'll dive more into this at 5 o'clock. Kirby says Gunnar Stockton has gotten valuable reps. And this happened, obviously, during the bye week. He is a sophomore, by the way. And this is why Chris and I were talking about the idea of if Gunner's coming back, or should I say Gunner, if Carson Beck's coming back, and if Gunnar Stockton plays really well in these playoffs, you get to at least two more years with him, with Gunnar Stockton as your potential starter if he balls out. But Kirby has said that he's been with the first team primarily in several practices since the SEC championship game. Because, again, they weren't sure, and now I think they are, and we now know, everybody knows about Carson Beck's surgery. So he says he's gotten a lot of reps prior to these practices, but he's getting much more now. Is it going to be enough? Nothing beats game experience, but is it going to be enough?
Yes, because of the game plan. Because, like Wes said, you're going to have to rely on the running game.
Yep.
He's also a running quarterback. So you're taking two-thirds of the game plan, you would figure, is going to be rushing-based.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with two sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Which greatly benefits his skill set. Carl, if I set the over-under at 14.5 passing attempts, where are you going?
Over.
You think so?
14?
Carl, they're going to run the ball.
Yeah, but you get 14 attempts is nothing.
Not for college. That happens all the time. What happened with Michigan?
What game are we talking about? The national championship? What
no,
are you talking
about? They took their quarterback out of the game plan.
Oh, you're talking
and
about
one?
Yes, yes.
J.J. McCarthy.
That's true.
But
that was their strength, right?
But I'm not saying that. But I'm saying if he only throws it 15 times, I think that's enough. If you're executing the rest of your game plan, which is using his mobility and athleticism to run the ball, along with Etienne and Frazier. Because I think you're going to have to run the ball. You're going to have to – because also, Carl, two things. Notre Dame's secondary is a problem. So you trust him to make those throws to, let's be polite, less than top five pick wide receivers. So also, Notre Dame just lost their best defensive tackle.
They did.
So all of that, put it in the hopper. That's why I'm saying it's 14 and a half. Like, that's why I would think it could be low.
If in fact it is that, and that is the game plan, and I'm fine with it. I mean, like, you go into these games, like, it's not about showmanship and you know, style points. Win. I don't care how. And to your point about Michigan, that Harbaugh knew what his strength was. Yeah. Offensive line, we're just going to pound you.
Blake Corum, go score.
That, and it made sense. So go win. If in fact it plays out that way and you're telling me that Georgia runs the ball that efficiently and they move the ball and they're scoring points and he doesn't have to throw it 14 times again, that's great because you don't have to say the pressure is on him to deliver certain times in this game or you know, even if it's late. I just feel like that's crazy for me to think that you're going to go into a game against Notre Dame and only have your quarterback potentially throw it 14 times.
Well, who are his two best friends in this game?
Run game?
Oscar Delp.
Oh, you're talking about on the offense?
And Lawson Lucky. Those are his two best friends in this game.
Well, they're the only two guys you trust.
And they're not only that, Carl, they're also the safety valve.
Yeah.
They're also the guys that are going to run your intermediate routes, which is where Georgia's going to have to live in this game. I'm telling you, Georgia can't. Gunnar Stockton is, I would be shocked. I'd bet you the shirt on my back, and I like this shirt, by the way.
It's a good shirt.
My girlfriend got it for me. That he
anime, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, I see it.
A little Dragon Ball Z. He does not throw the ball more than 25, 30 yards in the air max. Why would he? Unless it gets into a shootout, which I don't think anybody game being a shootout.
I don't think so either. So, I think their defense is still stout enough. Right. That, yeah, I don't think so.
So, and Riley Leonard, can he? Yes. Does he? Not really. I mean, he's been more of a game manager that I thought he was going to go to Notre Dame and be a gunslinger.
Mm.
He's been much more of a game manager.
Yeah, Marcus Freeman has his defense playing really well. I mean, Wes alluded to that. I'm just looking at this and going, how many reps makes you feel really good about Gunnar Stockton stepping into this spot? And that's really the thing that we're going to find out, you know, in these quarterfinal games, December 31st and January 1st. And this is the late game, by the way. This is the Sugar Bowl, so it won't start to about 8:45, okay? The other games, obviously, 1 o'clock Texas and Arizona State, 5 o'clock Ohio State, Oregon, because it's on the West Coast, that's the Rose Bowl. And now you got the Fiesta with Penn State and Boise, but Georgia plays, you know, last that night on that last game. I don't know. I'm still a little bit doubtful about saying you can't go into this game and have him throw it around. You have to. I think you're going to have to allow him to play the position and not try to protect him. They tried that with Carson Beck, by the way. When he was struggling, remember, they were like, oh, we're just going to run the ball. It didn't work. And then he went to Ole Miss and got destroyed, right? I mean, physically, he just got beat up in that game. But then the Dogs bounced back. That is the thing I think that has prepared them for this run, with or without Carson Beck, and that is their schedule.
Well, if the Georgia offensive line, Carl, can't take advantage of a weakened Notre Dame defensive line, you don't deserve it. Sorry.
All right, guys, more college football coming up. Also, Caleb Johnson's going to join us, Hawks reporter for 92.9 The Game. Hawks won last night. They'll play on Thursday against the Bulls, and then on Saturday afternoon against Miami. 2:30 pregame, tips at 3 o'clock. And, of course, we got plenty of football. Christmas Day, we got the Chiefs and Steelers, Baltimore and Houston starting at noon right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. 4 o'clock hour straight ahead.